For Freedom Action Network News, I'm Lisa Price. A statewide organization that worked to get Charlotte's non-discrimination ordinance overturned by the state legislature says hundreds of North Carolina businesses support the new state law, but that some are afraid of retaliation if they make that support public. In a news release yesterday, the NC Values Coalition said bullying from the LGBT community has some business owners afraid for the well-being of their businesses and families if they speak out. Meanwhile, the governor says the attorney general used a flawed legal argument in deciding not to defend HB 2. The governor released a video late Tuesday that also further explained his decision to sign the law, now being criticized by dozens of corporate CEOs and the subject of a federal lawsuit. A lawyer for Donald Trump's campaign manager says even though a video shows contact between Corey Lewandowski and a news reporter at a Trump event this month, it also shows that the reporter didn't lose her balance. On NBC's Today Show, Brad Cohen was asked whether his client might have thought reporter Michelle Fields was a threat to Trump.
100%. That's one of the things that we have to investigate.
Cohen said Lewandowski is a former New Hampshire state trooper who thinks he can take action when he sees a potential threat to Trump. Police charged Lewandowski after reviewing the video. Elsewhere, President Obama says Americans must reject anti-Muslim and anti-refugee rhetoric in the aftermath of recent terror attacks. AP White House correspondent Mark Smith explains.
The president says the goal of the bombers who struck in Belgium and Pakistan during Holy Week was to sow fear and division, to get Americans and their allies to cast out the stranger and spurn those seeking shelter.
The intent of the terrorists is to weaken our faith, to weaken our best impulses, our better angels.
But at an Easter prayer breakfast here, he said, if this holiday means anything to the faithful, it's that you don't have to be afraid, that darkness is drowned out by light and hatred healed with love. Mark Smith at the White House.
Duke Energy is one of 41 energy providers the Obama administration says have agreed to voluntarily reduce methane emissions from natural gas operations to help combat climate change. The announcement of the government-industry partnership comes after the worst methane leak in the nation's history was finally plugged last month at an underground storage facility owned by Southern California Gas. The Environmental Protection Agency aims to reduce methane emissions by at least 40% over the next decade. If you're planning a trip this summer that involves taking a flight, be prepared for long waits at security check-in points. AP correspondent Warren Levinson has the details.
4 years ago, the Transportation Security Administration envisioned getting 25 million travelers to sign up for PreCheck, aimed at streamlining trips through airport security. Members get to keep shoes and jackets on, laptops stay in carry-ons. But fewer than 9.5 million flyers have signed up so far. Security lines are growing longer, and come the peak summer travel season, the agency is warning the lines will be really long. A hint of the bottlenecks to come appeared this month. American Airlines reports 6,800 spring break passengers missed their flights because of long check-in lines. Warren Levinson, New York.
The FBI is warning North Carolina residents to beware of a telephone scam asking potential victims to repay a school loan, parking ticket, or other matter, and threatens arrest if the fees aren't paid via MoneyGram. A statement from the agency's Charlotte office said the scam spoofs FBI office telephone numbers on the victim's caller ID. The FBI says it does not call private citizens requesting money and tells people to limit the information they freely provide online, including on social media sites. Speaking of scams, Central Piedmont Community College has secured a $200,000 grant to start a certificate program to combat counterfeiting. The Charlotte Observer reports CPCC will use the National Science Foundation grant to develop a 2-year technician certificate program and to provide continuing education for those in the field. Counterfeiting ranks among the fastest growing economic crimes, accounting for 5-7% of world trade, according to the International Chamber of Commerce. Counterfeiting is worth an estimated $600 billion a year. And most people's NCAA college basketball brackets have been busted. But those same brackets are holding up the ratings for the TV networks covering the games. CBS and TBS have gotten the highest ratings. Nielsen reports 11.6 million people watched CBS's telecast of the Villanova-Kansas game Saturday. The Sunday night matchup between UNC and Notre Dame drew more than 10 million viewers. Overall, the most popular TV show last week, though, was a familiar entry, NCIS, which airs on CBS. And now you're up to date. Stay informed with Freedom Action Network News. I'm Lisa Price. Now it's time to find out what matters with Chad Adams.
Please stand by.
We now take you live to the Institute of Rational Thought for a special broadcast. Hard-hitting interviews and relevant information to make your day. It's Chad Adams.
Good day. A beautiful one it is. Spring, it looks like. A little cool. Nonetheless, a beautiful day. It's that time of year where it just goes up and down. It's like a roller coaster here. But we're glad to have you with us here. One of the final days of March, tomorrow being the final day. And I'm trying to get this right. It's TuneIn Radio. Go to TuneIn, and you can find What Matters with Chad Adams. You can listen to the podcast. Lisa's giving me cheers over there, and Mike, the engineer's head, did not explode when I said that. So we appreciate you folks that are doing it. You terrestrial folks, we appreciate it. We provide you content regardless of the way in which you choose to use it. Terrestrial, online, podcast, listen and repeat, freedomactionnetwork.com. We have lots of different ways. And we're keeping you informed as to what's going on out there. And it's a lot, you know, there is, on the one hand, it's much ado about nothing. It really is. And as someone said to me a few moments ago, you know what happens on April 1st in the state of North Carolina after this legislative session, after the governor, after all the stuff in Charlotte? You know what happens on April 1st? Nothing. Nothing changes. It's the same world as it was before April 1st. Now, a bunch of liberal, lefty, gookamamie, people that just want to think the end of the world. I mean, you would think Armageddon was taking place. You know, liberal version of Armageddon. It doesn't include a supreme being or anything. But you would think the end of the world. Lawsuits, accusations, protest. Little bitty protest. Not thousands of people, but, you know, people. Come, a couple people showing up and saying, I don't like this. But, you know, and then you've got the governor of New York weighing in on this. And we're going to get through all of this. We have a Representative Dan Bishop on the show today. He is someone who has a piece out at the Daily Caller, by the way. He has co-authored a piece with Representative Chris Mills, who has also been on the show before. Dan Bishop, this will be, I believe, Dan's first visit, been a friend for many years. So I'm looking forward. I'm going to go through their piece. We're going to speak with Dan Bishop. We have Carolina Plot Hounds Paul Chesser on the show today. So a lot going on out there. There's also an excellent piece over at Town Hall, Six Reasons That North Carolina Got It Right by Frank Turek. An excellent piece. We're going to go through that. I do want to go through one piece, however, that written by another guest of our show who does The Insider, Pat Gannon. I believe that Pat Gannon is a very astute observer of things. Now, whether we agree or not, what I appreciate is his forthrightness. I've never felt that Pat Gannon was over the top. I've never felt that he was overly biased. I feel that even in his column pieces, I think they are really good observations of things that are going on, less than motivated by a political agenda. You know, many people say, oh, the News and Observer, a liberal rag. Yes. But there are people, that doesn't mean everybody that works there is. It doesn't mean that everyone at a given TV station or a given place is nefariously left-wing. I've known Pat for many years. I consider him a colleague. I consider him a friend. And so when I go through his piece, and it's printed at the Rocky Mount Telegram, what I would ask you to do is to consider it is not hate-filled. It doesn't even address the intricacies of House Bill 2, okay, which we will get into in the show. I promise we will get into it. You're going to get more in-depth discussion here about that bill. You are not going to get this information anywhere else. You're not going to get it at WRAL, who clearly has a stance against the legislature and the governor and all that. You're not going to get it. Certainly, you're not going to get it down in Charlotte. You're not going to get it anywhere because there are all these groups that are just bashing North Carolina. They're full of nefarious information that's just wrong. It's just wrong. So we're going to get in depth with one of the authors of the bill that has a column. We're going to go through that column. We're going to have Paul Chesser on today. We're going to talk about this a lot. We'll talk also about the New York governor who thinks that, travel should be restricted to North Carolina. Meanwhile, he's got some hypocrisy issues, and we'll talk about that. But what the point that Pat Gannon is making, many of us, myself included, many people, felt that the legislature shouldn't have acted so quickly. That there wasn't a need to act. Now, that doesn't mean that's like-minded people can disagree on some things. The governor had not called him into a special session. I believe for political reasons that had the Charlotte ordinance gone into effect and dramatically and radically changed things, I think that the groundswell of support for what the Republicans ultimately did in the House and Senate would have grown. And instead of being on the receiving end of of all this hate. I think that those seven people who changed the law without needing to change the law would have been on the receiving end of this, and North Carolina would have done the right thing. And this would have been largely avoided. Be that as it may. So it was the process that the legislature used that Pat Gannon is writing about. And it is germane, and I think it is important because we've talked about the way in which power is wielded in that legislature. And it is very powerful. It is constitutionally powerful. I'm not advocating for changing the Constitution, but I want you to be aware, when we have talked about legislators changing law in the middle of the night, that's power. That's the ability to change things instantly that affect you, me, and everyone else. So it wasn't about the outcome. It was about the way in which things were done that I think many people do have questions. And we do here. This does not, the governor did not want this to happen this way. He wanted to see a more methodical process. That's not the way it happened. So here's what Pat Gannon had to say. And I think it's, so I'm at, this show is a lot about asking you to think. And that's what I'm asking you to do as you listen to this, because it's not about the intricacies of the bill, which we will get into. It is about thinking. Last week's special legislative session was about bathrooms and safety and gay and lesbian and transgender rights. But in the big picture, it was about power. And right now, North Carolina General Assembly Republicans hold all of it in the capital city. The Republicans who dominate the General Assembly with supermajorities in each chamber proved that they can wield a big stick whenever they feel the need. And they proved that they won't hesitate to do so when they feel threatened or disrespected. Charlotte's non-discrimination ordinance threatened the power of the General Assembly Republicans over cities and towns and disrespected some legislators' personal beliefs. Again, we're not getting into the details of the bill. This is an opinion piece. The city's new law, which would have taken effect April 1st, would have allowed transgender people to use either men or women's bathroom, depending on the gender with which they identify. It also would have prohibited Charlotte businesses like bars and restaurants, stores and taxis from discriminating against gay, lesbian or transgender customers. This is his political viewpoint. After its 7-4 passage, by the way, of those seven, one of them has been almost physically threatened for 5 or 6 months and chose to walk away from the vote and allow her vote to be recorded as a present, which made it 7-4. Otherwise, it would have been 6-4. By the Charlotte City Council, state Republican leaders quickly spoke out about the transgender aspects, claiming it could open the door to men using women's restrooms, true, and shower facilities, true, by saying they identified as women. Now, Patrick Gannon didn't say true. I did. This is the point of the article I think is worth really thinking about when you're thinking about the people that are running the show over there. General Assembly Republicans proved they could whip their base into a frenzy across the state by playing on fears about such occurrences, even if they have happened very few times in places where the laws like the one in Charlotte passed. Now, Patrick and I would disagree about that, but this is his column. They proved they could get enough GOP legislator signatures to convene a special session, even if Governor Pat McCrory decided not to bring them back himself. They proved they could draft a bill largely in secret, file it at mid-morning, start debating it minutes later, pass it that afternoon, and convince the governor to sign it in the same night. These are shades of David Lewis. Remember when David Lewis was able to change the technical corrections bill in the middle of the night, change a law for a friend and donor in the middle of the night with no other legislators looking at it? That's not what happened here, but it shows the kind of power they have. They proved they could hold public hearings on the legislation to make it appear that the process was sound, even if they knew the bill would pass almost exactly as it was written when introduced. General Assembly Republicans proved, as they have many other times in recent years, that cities and towns are beholden to them. They proved the North Carolina Constitution gives them almost unlimited power over municipalities. They've abolished involuntary annexation powers. Yay! Moved control over Asheville's water system away from the city and eliminated certain municipal revenue sources. Those were all good. To name three ways they've curtailed the power of municipalities in recent years. Representative Nelson Dollar, a Cary Republican, not a conservative, I would say, but he's a Republican, echoed the words of many GOP colleagues during the one-day special session. We do not need any municipal government acting outside of its authority, especially when they are trying to make political statements, Dollar said. And I think the Charlotte issue proved Republican leaders have power over their individual members. Patrick Gannon goes on to say, I'd be shocked if at least one House or Senate Republican didn't have serious reservations about House Bill 2, yet every Republican voted for it. No one had the courage to be the one Republican to jump ship. That probably wouldn't have boded well for his or her political future. And Republicans who control the state House proved that the things they do have repercussions nationwide, good or bad. They proved they can do whatever they want, whenever they want, as quickly as they want. They proved their almost unlimited, limitless power in this state at this moment in time. All of that's true, what he said. He wasn't bashing. You can read that and you can think he's bashing them. What I think he's telling you is they have unlimited, they have more power than the governor, they have more power than cities and counties, and they wield it. And they can wield it quickly, methodically. And technically, they did everything right. They held the hearings, but this train left the station and arrived at the next station before even getting up to speed. This thing was planned and executed perfectly. So there you go. And there were, by the way, Pat didn't mention, but several Democrats, 12 Democrats in the House voted for this thing, and the Senate Democrats abandoned ship and left because they didn't want their vote recorded. They can say all they want to about, oh, it's a stupid legislation. They can say what they want. But you know what? They didn't want their vote to be recorded for or against it because they knew that no matter what they did, they were going to end up on the receiving end of bad things. So they didn't have the courage. The Senate Democrats, let me repeat, did not have the courage to stick around. They walked away from their duty. There you go. Should have been retrieved. It would have been fun to see Berger send the Capitol Police out to retrieve all the senators, send the Highway Patrol to bring these senators in to vote. That would have been fun. Remember, Wisconsin did that. Remember, the legislators went to another state? They went all the way to Texas to run away from their duties? So that's Gannon's opinion on this, and I think it is many people feel this way about it. They did wield unbelievable power. And the real question is, what? How much damage would have been done had Charlotte been able to move forward with this and then it be taken care of by the General Assembly later? We'll never know. But now that the hate is coming from everywhere, Cuomo, finally some decent stories are coming out. The hate and the vindictiveness directed at Governor McCrory from the left and ultra-left, I should say, the radicalized left. And that's what this is. This isn't a normal left response. This is radical assault on everything Governor McCrory right now. Who didn't create this problem, mind you? Seven Democrats in Charlotte created this, and the Rule for Radical Saul Alinsky crowd went bananas and went after him. So New York Governor Andrew Cuomo will go to Cuba, but North Carolina is off limits. What gives? That's the charge being leveled against the Democrat governor by North Carolina Governor Pat McCrory's office after Cuomo banned official travel to the Tar Heel State over a law critics say discriminates against transgender people. Earlier this week, Cuomo signed an executive order barring non-essential state travel to North Carolina. He required all state agencies to, quote, immediately review, end quote, any such requested trips, adding, as long as there is a law in North Carolina that creates the grounds for discriminating against LGBT people, I'm barring non-essential state travel to that state. Nothing changed, folks. The law is what it was. McCrory spokesman Josh Ellis accused Cuomo of hypocrisy and demagoguery in a statement. He noted that Cuomo last year went to Cuba, a country he said has a deplorable human rights record. He also questioned whether the Democrat would ask Syracuse University basketball team to boycott the upcoming Final Four because it is hosted by Houston, where voters last year defeated a non-discrimination ordinance. Now, as a private university, Syracuse would not be subject to a state travel ban, okay, even if one existed. The retort heightens the war of words between the two state governments as North Carolina faces increasing pressure from other states and companies as well over the new law. The law, which McCrory signed last week, would prevent local governments from protecting people on the basis of sexual orientation and gender identity when they use public accommodations like hotels and restaurants. This is just interesting. Attorney General Roy Cooper, the governor's Democrat challenger in the looming election, announced Tuesday that his office won't defend this national embarrassment. In other words, Cooper's choosing which laws he wants to defend. What if he just didn't want to defend the drug laws? Or maybe he didn't want to defend immigration. I didn't realize that the Attorney General of the state of North Carolina could just pick and choose whatever laws he wants to defend. I don't like that one. Wouldn't it be, well, I mean, imagine you're at your house. Well, you know, the city says I can't burn those tires in my backyard. But you know what? I don't agree with that law. I think I should be allowed to burn tires. I can burn tires. It's a law. Isn't it weird that we have an attorney general that thinks the law is really that shallow? I just don't like it, so I'm not going to enforce it. Wouldn't it be? Imagine him as governor. I don't agree with you. So, even though that's the law, I don't agree with the Constitution. I'm not going to defend the Constitution. You can't. It's not what you do as attorney general. You may not like it, but you defend the law. That is your role. Maybe you just need to be called in for questioning. You made public statements that said you want to break the law. I mean, I think the Attorney General of the state of North Carolina should be called in for questioning. Wait, you want to break the law? You don't want to defend? You took an oath to defend the laws of the state of North Carolina. You're not defending them. Jeez. And I still want to see how this legislative action strips anybody of a right. I would love to have people tell me this. I've read through it. A lot of people haven't read through it. I'm kind of fascinated by it. I know that Lieutenant Governor Dan Forrest, who's been really good on this stuff, by the way, Dan Forrest called one of the companies that issued a discrimination stuff against North Carolina. And you know what that company, he said, hey, have you guys, and I love, this is what I love about Dan Forrest. He's a normal guy. He happens to be the Lieutenant Governor of the state, but if you walked in and saw him and said, hey, let's grab a cup of coffee, you know what? He'd be like, okay, sure. He's extremely approachable. He's very gregarious. And he's very clear about what he believes in. And he doesn't do it in a mean way. You've heard him on the show many times. He's just clear about what he believes in. His governing philosophy is extremely articulate and very clear. Not unlike Chris Millis, not unlike many folks. But here's what's interesting. So Dan just picks up the phone and calls the CEO. Like, we can all do that. CEO answers the phone. He says, hey, I noticed your company threw out this stuff against North Carolina. Did you read the bill? No, we just decided it was discriminatory. So your company decided to go after the state in which you're in, but you didn't read the bill? Do you operate? He didn't say this, but I could imagine the conversation going something like, do you operate your company that way? If the federal government passes a new law that affects your company, do you read it before you decide how your company's going to deal with it? Or you just like arbitrarily say stuff because of what the media said? So what's happening to a lot of the companies that are issuing these statements? It's clear that they haven't read the bill and they're issuing statements prima facie. They're just looking at things and then saying, oh, we don't like it, without reading it. But before we have Dan Bishop on, we have Paul Chesser on, I believe, first, and then we have Representative Dan Bishop in the second hour. I want to go through, there's two pieces I definitely want to get through today. And this one is by Representative Chris Millis and Dan Bishop. And it's over at the Daily Caller. It was literally posted at 2:27, so about 30-some-odd minutes before we went on the air. On Monday, this is their column, Dan Bishop and Chris Millis, one of the authors of the legislation and someone who's very clearly staked out their position from a conservative philosophical standpoint, and that's Chris Millis. On Monday, three individuals and a pair of activist groups sued officials of the state of North Carolina, and after Governor Pat McCrory and the General Assembly passed legislation that overturned a Charlotte ordinance that forced businesses to provide for transgender persons to use public restrooms and locker rooms of their chosen sex. Not their actual sex, but their, just remember, their chosen sex. Not what they are, but what they choose to be. By singling out LGBT people for disfavored treatment and explicitly writing discrimination against transgender people into state law, the lawsuit stated, the new law violates the most basic guarantees of equal treatment and the U.S. Constitution. As legislative members who sponsored and supported the bill's passage in a special session last week, we maintain that nothing could be further from the truth than what this ill-conceived lawsuit alleges. Moreover, had the Charlotte ordinance stood, far more individuals would have found their privacy violated in facilities than would have allegedly transgendered individuals. In February, the Charlotte City Council adopted an ordinance they created, an ordinance that created a right for persons who identify or choose to express themselves as members of the opposite sex. Again, not that they are, but they choose to be. I today feel like a woman. You know, like Shania Twain said, man, I feel like a woman. That's what this legislation really, I mean, Charlotte's over. This included the right to access locker rooms. So if you go into a locker room and you feel like a girl that day, you can walk into the girl's locker room. You don't have to be a girl. You just have to feel like one. It allows you to go into showers. It would allow you to go into bathrooms and other facilities normally reserved for members of the opposite biological sex. In addition, the city's elected officials mandated that all private businesses that serve the public to abide by its expanded non-discrimination policy to include gender identity and expression. Not the gender you are, but how you either identify or how you wish to express yourself. In other words, if you want to dress up like a woman, then you get to go in the woman's bathroom. Expression. Not fact. Expression. They codified expression as a way to be a gender. The city's actions were problematic on many levels. First, the city passed an ordinance that was clearly outside of its powers as a local government. That is absolutely true. I know the lefties don't like that, but that's true. Under its constitution, the state of North Carolina grants cities and counties specific powers, and they have no powers outside of ones that are delegated by state government. This separation of powers is very important as some matters specific to a local community are better decided at a local level, while others may require statewide uniformity. If the city of Charlotte thought it was good government to allow individuals who identify with the opposite sex an ability to enter into the opposite bathroom and violate the rights of privacy of others, then they should have suggested that legislation be introduced by the General Assembly. Instead, council members decided to trample on the rule of law and the privacy rights of the vast majority of citizens. This is what the left can't stand. They believe that the transgender community has more rights than you. They believe that a certain small group of individuals has more rights. And again, what I would say, equal rights for everybody, special privileges for none. I don't know why that is a problem. The left hates that expression. Equal rights for all, special privileges for none. No, I'm sorry. If you identify and you feel a certain way, that doesn't entitle you to go into the restroom you feel like going to. It just doesn't. You may think it does, but that is a violation of the people who are going to that restroom. Back to the article. The lawsuit filed on Monday furthers the media's and the left's deception about the ordinance reversal. Besides the ACLU, North Carolina and homosexual rights groups, Equality North Carolina. By the way, just for edification purposes, I'm personally being sued by the ACLU right now on a different matter related to school uniforms. Just letting you know. The ACLU just can't stand that we have gender differences that are real in the world. How dare you have those? So the ACLU, so I'm just for edification purposes. Besides the ACLU, North Carolina, and homosexual rights groups, Equality North Carolina, the plaintiffs include two alleged transgender individuals and a lesbian dean at the North Carolina Central University School of Law. As for the two who claim to be transgender, the complaint states that they are each a man whose sex assigned at birth was female. They assert that being forced to use restrooms and locker rooms based upon their birth certificate gender would cause them to experience significant anxiety and cause substantial harm to their mental health and well-being. Of course, they demonstrate no regard or concern for the well-being or sense of security of the millions who would have been forced to share bathroom and facilities with members of the opposite sex. Remember, this is granting them special privileges. With regard to the lesbian law professor in the suit, she, along with her wife, are said to have lost their sense of belonging and value in the state and worry that they will now be exposed to discrimination based on their sexual orientation. That misses the point of the law passed by lawmakers. For example, regardless of biological sex, under the Charlotte ordinance, a man could have simply identified or chosen to express himself as the opposite sex, and he would have the right to fully access a facility established to provide privacy for women, with no legal ramification. Allegations that lawmakers were accusing all transgenders of being molesters were red herrings. True, they were false. They were false. Say, it's just false. The danger of the ordinance was that those of the opposite sex would have legally protected access to private facilities. In other words, if you were under the Charlotte law, I want you to be very clear about this because the left doesn't like to discuss this. If you were a pedophile, well, let's just forget pedophile. Let's just say you like to molest young girls. You would have the right to just say, I identify, go in a girl's bathroom. It's amazing. To clarify the limits of local authority, we adopted a new statewide policy against discrimination in public accommodations to parallel an existing statement of policy against employment discrimination. Both policies embrace all of the protected classes that have been recognized under state law, Charlotte's and Charlotte's prior ordinance, including race, religion, color, national origin, and sex. Our protections are aligned with and slightly broader than federal protections. Our bill accomplished two things. It restored common sense privacy rights in bathrooms and locker rooms, and it clarified the limits of authority of cities and counties over anti-discrimination regulation without creating an onerous hodgepodge of regulations across localities for private businesses. Here's my question to all of the lefties out there who are just, well, excuse me, because there aren't that many, to the dozens or so really upset transgender people and groups that are making decisions without reading the law. Why weren't you upset before? Why weren't you upset? Because up and until, well, excuse me, for the entirety of our existence in the state of North Carolina, including up until April 1st, and now beyond April 1st, you've always had to use the bathroom that your birth certificate has. You have a gender assignment. That's your gender. Why are these people not saying they've been hurt prior to this legislation? They can't have been hurt because it only changed now. So how can you say you were injured? Why weren't you injured before this? I mean, if you hadn't been able to go to the bathroom, you're so upset about and you're so hurt and damaged, why aren't you suing the state prior to HB2? But don't let little things like that get in the way. We'll discuss some of this and more with Paul Chesser, our good buddy from the Carolina Plothound. Much more to go here on What Matters with Chad Adams. Stay tuned.
For Freedom Action Network News, I'm Lisa Price. A statewide organization that worked to get Charlotte's non-discrimination ordinance overturned by the state legislature says hundreds of North Carolina businesses support the new state law, but that some are afraid of retaliation if they make that support public. In a news release yesterday, the NC Values Coalition said bullying from the LGBT community has some business owners afraid for the well-being of their businesses and families if they speak out. Meanwhile, the governor says the attorney general used a flawed legal argument in deciding not to defend HB 2. The governor released a video late Tuesday that also further explained his decision to sign the law, now being criticized by dozens of corporate CEOs and the subject of a federal lawsuit. A lawyer for Donald Trump's campaign manager says even though a video shows contact between Corey Lewandowski and a news reporter at a Trump event this month, it also shows that the reporter didn't lose her balance. On NBC's Today Show, Brad Cohen was asked whether his client might have thought reporter Michelle Fields was a threat to Trump.
100%. That's one of the things that we have to investigate.
Cohen said Lewandowski is a former New Hampshire state trooper who thinks he can take action when he sees a potential threat to Trump. Police charged Lewandowski after reviewing the video. Elsewhere, President Obama says Americans must reject anti-Muslim and anti-refugee rhetoric in the aftermath of recent terror attacks. AP White House correspondent Mark Smith explains.
The president says the goal of the bombers who struck in Belgium and Pakistan during Holy Week was to sow fear and division, to get Americans and their allies to cast out the stranger and spurn those seeking shelter.
The intent of the terrorists is to weaken our faith, to weaken our best impulses, our better angels.
But at an Easter prayer breakfast here, he said if this holiday means anything to the faithful, it's that you don't have to be afraid, that darkness is drowned out by light and hatred healed with love. Mark Smith at the White House.
Duke Energy is one of 41 energy providers the Obama administration says have agreed to voluntarily reduce methane emissions from natural gas operations to help combat climate change. The announcement of the government industry partnership comes after the worst methane leak in the nation's history was finally plugged last month at an underground storage facility owned by Southern California Gas. The Environmental Protection Agency aims to reduce methane emissions by at least 40% over the next decade. If you're planning a trip this summer that involves taking a flight, be prepared for long waits at security check-in points. AP correspondent Warren Levinson has the details.
4 years ago, the Transportation Security Administration envisioned getting 25 million travelers to sign up for PreCheck, aimed at streamlining trips through airport security. Members get to keep shoes and jackets on, laptops stay in carry-ons. But fewer than 9.5 million flyers have signed up so far. Security lines are growing longer, and come the peak summer travel season, the agency is warning the lines will be really long. A hint of the bottlenecks to come appeared this month. American Airlines reports 6,800 spring break passengers missed their flights because of long check-in lines. Warren Levinson, New York.
The FBI is warning North Carolina residents to beware of a telephone scam asking potential victims to repay a school loan, parking ticket, or other matter, and threatens arrest if the fees aren't paid via MoneyGram. A statement from the agency's Charlotte office said the scam spoofs FBI office telephone numbers on the victim's caller ID. The FBI says it does not call private citizens requesting money and tells people to limit the information they freely provide online, including on social media sites. Speaking of scams, Central Piedmont Community College has secured a $200,000 grant to start a certificate program to combat counterfeiting. The Charlotte Observer reports CPCC will use the National Science Foundation grant to develop a two-year technician certificate program and to provide continuing education for those in the field. Counterfeiting ranks among the fastest growing economic crimes, accounting for 5 to 7% of world trade, according to the International Chamber of Commerce. Counterfeiting is worth an estimated $600 billion a year. And most people's NCAA college basketball brackets have been busted. But Those same brackets are holding up the ratings for the TV networks covering the games. CBS and TBS have gotten the highest ratings. Nielsen reports 11.6 million people watched CBS's telecast of the Villanova-Kansas game Saturday. The Sunday night matchup between UNC and Notre Dame drew more than 10 million viewers. Overall, the most popular TV show last week, though, was a familiar entry, NCIS, which airs on CBS. And now you're up to date. Stay informed with Freedom Action Network News. I'm Lisa Price. Now back to more of What Matters with Chad Adams.
So here's the fun part. Paul Chesser, you know, the purveyor, the co-creator, co-founder, editor-in-chief of the Carolina Plothound, is in the studio with us. And so as he's walking in, I notice, you know, he's older than me, but probably by about a year or two. I think he crossed a certain threshold that I haven't quite crossed yet. And so Paul's walking in, and I noticed that he's holding his phone, like, you know, your arms are a certain length, and he's holding his phone at a distance that's the maximum distance from his face that you can hold it with his hand.
The perfect distance.
The perfect. So
I said that before I got bifocals, yes.
So he's reading, and he's holding it out there, and I noticed that his reading glasses are, you know, dangling from his shirt the way mine usually are. And as I'm noticing, this is just completely inside baseball that no one cares about, but they do. People listen to radio. This is what you can do on radio you can't do on TV. These are the kind of discussions that when the TV cameras are off, that we have when you don't see what's happening. But in radio, we get to talk about it.
The compelling stuff that you all miss.
The behind-the-scenes stuff that you miss. So Tim Boy and we get to talk about it, get to talk about Chester. So he's got his glasses hanging. And I literally notice as I'm looking at them, I'm like, I said, why don't you put your reading glasses on? He's like, well, you know, they're the cheapo reading glasses from wherever. And I'm looking at mine. I pull mine off my face. I look at mine. They're the exact same.
The exact same ones.
They're the exact same ones. I'm wearing the exact. Paul and I are both wearing the exact same readers. You know?
And I don't even have Walmart as a neighbor.
And I do. See, that's inside. He doesn't realize. I live closer to, even though I live on a farm, I live closer to civilization than most people. Hey, look, my phone's ringing.
What are you doing with your phone on?
I don't know. It's just the craziest thing. I'm trying. This is the weird thing. I'm trying.
Even I did that.
And I think it's actually a listener to the show. It's someone who's actually listening to the show. And they're like, uh-oh, I didn't mean to call that number.
Oops. It's
Paul Chesser, Carolina Plothound. Mundane information that makes radio fun. How are you?
I'm hanging in there. How are you?
Life good?
It is good.
It's baseball season. You're a baseball fan, right?
I am a baseball fan.
See, I
Red Sox,
it's about as compelling to me as watching golf.
Oh, it's so relaxing. And it is. I mean, it's like a game where you can just sit back and not get, unless it gets down to the, you know, ninth inning or whatever, you know, you can just sit back and it's almost like background noise and stuff.
It's kind of my.
I don't get to take vacations that much. I'm still running kids around all over the place. We got activities all the time.
Kids,
so it's
right?
hard to break away to the beach and ever. So that's kind of this pockets of escapism I get to have is
baseball.
Is baseball. I fall asleep every night to Baseball Tonight's podcast on the ESPN
Baseball Tonight's podcast.
It's an hour long. It's perfect.
Oh.
Puts me to sleep.
You know, and I listen to the podcast, Fascinating Trees and the Way in Which They Grow. Helps put me right to sleep. Mm-hmm. I'm kidding, Lisa.
What are you guys doing? Okay, I listen to the news.
One of my favorite expressions, things I don't like to do, I'd rather do that than give birth to a flaming porcupine, you know.
Yes.
Kind of. So, anyway, you're with us and a lot going on. First, before we get
You're just trying to avoid talking about Charlotte bathrooms is what you're going to talk about classes and baseball. And
well, no.
And I don't blame you.
We're going, yeah, it is. Well, here's what I wanted to ask you about it, actually, was your take on forget the stories for a second, because you obviously are someone that's well-versed, well-read. We've known each other for a very long time. We actually, you know, spent many an hour setting up the Plothound and coming up with names and all that. So you get to know somebody and their writing style and everything. And your personality is what comes across in the links and the way in which they're described. And when you saw all of this begin, we knew that this was going to end up being more than just a grass fire. This is a grass fire that turned into an inferno and right now is a tornadic activity in some lefty circles, while many folks are just nonplussed about it. I mean, the vast majority of North Carolinians agree that this was a stupid ordinance. But the vocal minority left, again, I'm putting my opinion in. I'd like to get your take on when you saw it come down and you've seen what's happened since, what's your view of this?
That's
and
a pretty
now
broad,
moving on to something else.
It's a pretty broad question. you know, I thought I have a piece up at the top of Plot Hound now. It's written by a Christian apologetics expert,
Frank
by the name of Frank Turek. He's based at Southern, I think it's Southern Evangelical Seminary. It's somewhere down near Charlotte. It's a piece in townhall.com called Six Reasons Why North Carolina Got It Right. Just to put it succinctly, I guess that would be the closest to the heart of the issue that I think anybody has gotten on as far as making special accommodations for people's behaviors.
This is a piece that, by the way, you're referring to. We will go through this by the end of the show.
Right.
He is also, for those of you who have a DirecTV, he is the I Don't Have Enough Faith to Be an Atheist. That's the co-author. Right. He co-authored that. He also is Legislating Morality and Correct, Not Politically Correct. He also hosts a TV show that airs Wednesday nights, 9 p.m. and 1 a.m. On DirecTV Channel 378.
And he is coming to speak this summer in the Raleigh area.
I did not know that.
You can message me if you want to find out where that's going to happen, at an apologetics conference. Anyway, his piece is called Six Reasons Why North Carolina Got It Right. And it basically addresses, he talks about how, well, you know, I don't know if you want to go through it now, but all good laws discriminate against behaviors, not people. People are equal, but their behaviors are not. Your identity is not in your feelings, but your biology. And just that's, you know, if we're going to start affecting rights and, you know, making special carve outs and special accommodations for people based on how they identify,
how they feel on a good day,
my identity, and you're identifying as the opposite gender of what you were born as, you're opening the floodgates. I'm sorry. You're opening the floodgates. So I identify as a butterfly. You know, what in the world?
Yeah, where does it end? I mean, people would say, oh, Paul, you conservatives, you're just being over the top. Mm-hmm. But this is a little bit of a Pandora's box. Mm-hmm. If we just open it to how people feel about any given thing, and that feelings have rights, not individual, but feelings, you're giving an inalienable right to a feeling, not a person. Mm-hmm. From the creation of the country, it was about rights of the individual, not the rights of their feelings.
Right.
And you can feel any way you want. That doesn't give you the right.
And as a consequence, you're infringing upon other people's rights.
Sure, you may feel you have the right to walk around. My feeling says I'm a nudist.
Yeah.
Why are you infringing upon my freedom? I feel like a nudist. I should be able to walk around in public with
there was a homeless woman who, so a few months ago in the Charlotte area, who just set up, just started, what do I call that?
Homesteading?
Homesteading in a mansion. You know,
she felt like it was hers.
Yeah. I feel like your property is my property. So let me have it. Yeah. Or I can just come in. I'm going to take up residence in your, there are going to be plenty of people who say, oh, you're being ridiculous and what have you. That's the path we've already started going down this path a long time ago. This is just happens to be the point we're at now. So, you know, that again, that's where you asked me what I thought of this issue.
Yeah.
I was waiting for this type of a commentary to come out, because this is the kind of thing that legislators are not going to say. This is the kind of that Frank Turek says in this piece.
Right.
This is not the kind of thing that people who are, you know, in a whatever niche of politics, you know, are not going to say. They're just going to say, well, this is, you know, like Governor McCrory, he says, well, this is just common sense. You know, you don't let a man
go to a woman's restroom.
Go to a woman's restroom.
How dare you have such an opinion?
Yeah.
I mean, the left is basically, how dare you have that opinion? You're pandering to fear.
Right. And all, you know, basically all it does is open up the door for a man to go into a woman's restroom, drop his drawers, and if he gets caught or he doesn't even have to touch a woman or a girl in the restroom. You know, he just exposes himself. All he has to do is say, I'm a transgender.
I felt like a woman.
I identify as transgender. I'm in here legally, and that person would be protected. So on that level, yeah, that's common sense. But again, the heart of the issue is where Frank Turek hits in his piece, in my opinion.
Now, at the same time this is going on, I don't know of any, I mean, there's some cities, but I don't know any states that have codified the Charlotte ordinance into state law anywhere. I've seen that there are 200 cities, some different cities that have ordinances similar, but I haven't seen any states have codified this stuff. So I find it interesting that New York State's governor, from what I can discern, they don't have a law on the books like this, and they haven't. So they don't have one on the books. Their law is a lot like our law, but they're discriminating against North Carolina, even though their law is the same, basically.
And what Governor McCrory criticized last night in his release.
His video release.
His video release. And, well, they put out a statement criticizing Governor Cuomo of New York, calling him a hypocrite. And he is a hypocrite. He goes to Cuba. He wants to drum up trade
with Cuba.
With a communist Cuba who... an oppressive government,
human rights,
running gulags, you know, for political opponents,
putting political opponents in prison. We allow them to protest in our streets. That's they put them in prison.
Exactly. So that is, you know, rank hypocrisy on the part of Governor Cuomo. That you know, congratulations to you, Governor McCrory. You called him out on that. And he's trying to, and again, Cuomo is trying to get. He's trying to do economic development with communist country. And you could go any of these corporations who've been critical of the state of North Carolina about this legislation, who are dealing with China, dealing with communist governments, sending labor, you know, having the labor done over in those countries where such oppression goes on over there. That's hypocrisy as well. You could throw all these public statements and criticisms that are coming down on North Carolina and Republican leadership and the legislature and the governorship. You can throw it right back at them.
I got one for you. Okay, I got one for you and Lisa. Y'all are both gonna. I was gonna pivot into something that was a little sensical, but now I'm gonna go right into the nonsensical. Okay, you're both gonna love this. You're both, okay? And it was just sent to me, so I would love to take credit for having discovered this. But as always, we have very resourceful people that send stuff to us.
Okay.
Earlier this year, and attention, Governor McCrory, this may come to your desk soon. Attention, legislators, you need to be aware of this. And attention, you people on the left, because you're going to have a difficult time figuring out how to deal with this. I'm just letting you know, because we're into people's identity now. Earlier this year, hundreds of people from around the world who identify as mermaids and mermen got together in Greensboro, North Carolina, for the world's first and largest Mermania meetup. Mm-hmm. The event was created by 200 eco-activists with the intention of focusing on environmental issues that affect our oceans. Mermaids' tails cost anywhere between $10 and $3,500. Many of the attendees are likely connected in online communities and wanted to meet and swim together in real life. Which bathrooms are mermaids and mermen? That's where they identify. Okay. They identify as mermaids and mermen.
What kind of equipment do they
have? I don't know, but I haven't seen the birth certificate on that one. So I would imagine it's quite difficult to get your birth certificate changed to an ichthyological domain. I just thought, you know, again, they identify as mermaids.
That's right.
I mean, come on. The story says they identify as mermaids. Christian Obrocki, here's a confusing one, or merman Christian. So they can be Christian mermaids. So there you go.
Oh.
Being a merman, listen to this. I love this one. Being a merman, his name's Christian, isn't as easy as the girls. You see a mermaid, everybody's like, oh, how beautiful. You see a guy and they're kind of, not so much. So they're discriminated against because they're mermen.
So I guess you have to have bathrooms with the flipper logo on the,
here's the inspirational message to young boys was the following. For all the little merboys out there, I'm going to say, if you want to wear a tail, you put that on. If you want to swim in the sea and be happy because it's fun, just go for it.
Be yourself.
Just don't get eaten.
Coming to an ordinance near the coast. So
there's no behavior that needs to be corrected.
Why would you, you know?
Or altered.
Mermaids, mermen. Yeah. This is a true story. Daily Wire, dailywire.com. There it is.
Okay.
I just wanted to pass that along.
Okay. Thank you. Yeah.
But you see how absurd this becomes. If you just let anybody who identifies with anything, you know, I identify with a head of lettuce. You know, I'm a lettuce kind of guy. So that's the way I feel today, feeling like lettuce.
I feel like a salad. Yeah.
Lettuce, I don't know. So, you know, this is just kind of ludicrous. And you wonder why. So the other thing, what changed? So as a result of the law, before today or before last week, Why wouldn't they bring the lawsuit before?
A blogger, Sue's sister told you, who's based here in North Carolina, points out the hypocrisy of the NBA. When the NBA negotiated and announced
that they don't let women play.
When they announced that they were going to bring the All-Star game, next year's All-Star game, to the city of Charlotte, it was perfectly fine when they made that. All the bathroom accommodations were perfectly fine. Yep. But now that they're still the same regulations, nothing has changed.
So if Dennis Rodman puts on a dress, which he has done.
Yes, he has.
Mm-hmm. And Dennis Rodman wants to go to the woman's bathroom.
In North Korea?
I doubt it.
Maybe a communist drag queen, NBA player. But, I mean, if he was in Charlotte and Dennis Rodman dressed as a woman, felt like a woman, well, how creepy would it be if you were in the woman's restroom and Dennis Rodman walked in?
It'd be wrong. It would creep me out.
It would be creepy.
It would creep me out. And completely. I'd be like, Dennis, get out.
Like a 6'8", you know, guy walking in the bathroom.
I don't care how tall you are. You need to get out.
With all that tatted and the beard and everything, you would go, why are you in here? Well, I identify as a woman. And by the way, you women, you know.
Yeah. No, that's just wrong.
It's just weird.
Go out.
So anyway, when I look at this issue, I'm just simply blown away that I just never thought if you had told me 20 years ago, you know, there would come a day that We will really be concerned about how people identify, not what they actually are, but what they choose to be in their heads. That I'm a unicorn today.
Here's another thing that gets lumped together is they talk about the LGBT discriminating against LGBT through this ordinance.
Yes.
If you're going to try to make a case like that, the LGBs are fine. They, you know, unless they are a T.
Yes, the LGBTQ.
They all go to the bathroom that aligns with their biological, you know, birth certificate identification. It's the T's that have a problem with this. So, you know, but of course they try to show force in numbers. They try to say, oh, well,
they try to act like their whole community is being discriminated. But this is a very radical thing. This is make no mistake. This is a radicalized version of the left. It is not something that identifies. They're trying to draw people into this by appealing. They would say that the right is, hey, you're trying to make people afraid because you're saying that predators could go into the bathroom. Well, that's true. They could. Yeah. And then they're trying to say the right is pandering to fear, but the left is pandering to everyone's fear. Mm-hmm. And they're trying to infuse into this all sorts of discriminatory language that's not there.
Right. So. Again, you don't have to be a predator. You can just go into the restroom and expose yourself to your heart's desire to the opposite gender just because you're legally protected. You would have been legally protected under the Charlotte ordinance because you declared yourself as a transgender. You didn't even have to touch anybody in that restroom. You could just freak them out with your showing your junk.
I got it. And that was Paul Chesser.
And I can say, hey, look, having to go up, two floors in Harrison on NC State's campus because there were no female bathrooms.
There you go.
Discrimination
You could have gone to them, but you could have identified as a guy. In public universities, that was still the case.
In the 80s, I couldn't have done that.
Now, I've got to ask you, switching topics only for a minute, because I got to ask how you came up with this. So in the Outer Banks, there's a wildfire. You know where I'm going with this. There's a wildfire in the Outer Banks. Now, someone alleged that, you know, wildlife created this, that a squirrel started the wildfire.
They did? I didn't see that in the story.
Well, it says squirrel. Your headline says squirrels ruled out. Officials say Outer Banks wildfire caused by humans. But it wasn't that. That was funny enough. But you put a picture. You know, here we are talking about LGBTQ stuff, but we've got a squirrel that looks like a bondage fanatic. This squirrel.
Oh, you know what? I didn't notice the collar.
The squirrel has a collar. You've got a picture of a squirrel with a spiked collar.
You know, sometimes I'm just moving too fast.
And I'm like, you have a squirrel with a spiked collar and a smoking a cigarette. Where did you find the picture of this? This really.
Sometimes I'm just speeding through to get the website created. Okay, here's a process.
Where did you find a bonded sadomasochistic smoking squirrel?
Yeah.
I mean, I thought Caddyshack's groundhog was interesting, but come on, you've got the smoking sadomasochistic squirrel. Where'd you find it?
Google.
what did you look for? I need a psychotic squirrel?
Sadomasochistic squirrel picture needed.
Let me take you into the thought process here of the brilliant Carolina Plot Hound.
I have to ask.
Okay. I see a this is an AP headline. It's going all over the place. Officials say Outer Banks wildfire caused by humans. Caused by humans. Okay, I don't know what else an Outer Banks wildfire could have caused, lightning or humans. Okay, so I'm thinking, okay, as opposed to what? What kind of wildlife? Squirrels? Okay, so so a process of elimination about how this wildfire was caused. Okay, let's rule out the squirrels.
Squirrels, so, very common. Could have grabbed a cigarette, taken it into the woods, set the pine straw on fire, and then got in trouble with all of the other squirrels.
You never know. I mean, you know, if
most hated squirrel in the woods.
He is banned from the tree.
If a guy is a woman, then a squirrel can smoke, I guess.
He'll have to call Geico and get special insurance rates because he is an accident-prone squirrel. It's like the...
It's what they do.
That's just funny. I saw that. I was like, an S&M bondage.
But I did. I missed the bondage part. I was in. Must have been in such a hurry. I was just looking for the squirrel.
BDSM squirrel.
I was just looking for squirrel holding the cigarette. That's all I was focused on.
Ugh. Now, another story that I think a lot of rights people, personal rights. It says, and this is from Fox 8. You've got a story link. North Carolina is one of the places that the federal government is using a controversial law to unlock people's phones. And it said that federal agents are quietly using a set. This is just what technology and time are fascinating. Mm. Federal agents are quietly using a 1789 law called the All Writs Act to try to force Apple and Google to unlock phones in at least 20 states. Now, this is a law that predated phones, far predated. I know for you guys that go through Common Core history. they didn't have phones in the 1700s. I know. It's hard to believe people didn't text or even telegraph. On Wednesday, the ACLU released findings of a study it conducted by searching through federal court records, many of them sealed to keep the secret. The pro-privacy group found 63 instances in which federal law enforcement agencies are trying to compel companies to help break into suspected phones by invoking a 227-year-old law that empowers judges to fill in the gaps of other explicit laws.
Yeah, I'll be honest. I didn't really dig into this story.
No, so. But it's a great. What compelled you to find? Because it is an interest. I'm reading through.
Well,
the story.
It was on Fox 8. I knew it'd be of interest, and I put it. I can't read everything, but yeah, I mean, it's a 227-year-old law that they're using as justification to unlock these phones. You know, are they getting a warrant? I don't know. Are they? You know.
Basically, it's where there are gaps in the law,
right.
Then they assume they have the power to do it. Just the, you know, a lot of constitutionalists would say anything that's not expressly given to the government is not their right. In other words, that's where the 10th Amendment stuff comes. Anything that's not expressly given to the federal government is given to the states. And this is just fascinating that they're able to do this. They get approval in one California case last year. A federal magistrate judge approved an FBI agent's request that Google hand over a suspected methamphetamine dealer's account password for two Android phones using this 227-year-old law. I just thought it was fascinating.
It is.
So since we are talking about Plawdown, let's go into some fun stuff there. As you're going through the process, I know a lot of people are giving you information. Okay. They wait a minute. Someone did write, sometimes squirrels cause fires on power lines. They get fried.
In the middle of the Outer Banks, I guess. That's
I had a possum one time that crawled into a heater. Mm-hmm. And I didn't find, nothing happened to the heater. And it wasn't until like 8 months later I found it. And it was a desiccated possum with just where it had hit the positive and negative contact. And it was a fur and a skeleton. That was it. It was really creepy. Now, in the end, you know, when you go through the process, just as we finish up here, you know, how long does it take you to put together a typical page? Because you're putting a lot of information.
Well, you know, this Charlotte bathroom ordinance thing, everything's just coming fast and fast and furious, and you got to sort through, and you can't put everything up. So, you know, I just kind of get the basic stuff up and then look for people with different angles on it and, you know, or somebody of significance, stature has something to say about it, like Rob Reiner today, I mean, Representatives Chris Millis and Dan Bishop co-wrote a piece for the Daily Caller that I just put up before I came on the show. You know, they explained their position on it. And so it's just...
And Dan Bishop
process
is coming up next, by the way.
Oh, hey, perfect teaser.
That was a perfect tease. Look at that. You're a radio host.
Yeah, so, you know, it all depends if the legislature's in session, if it's a primary week, whatever, you know, it just depends on how busy the week is.
I've seen you put up stories at, you know... 4 or 5 in the morning, 10 o'clock at night.
It's just seems if like I can't sleep.
A never-ending process is what it looks like.
Or if there's no good baseball on TV.
Oh, right back to baseball. And a sadomasochistic squirrel. So I got to say that. Never thought I'd say that on the radio and have a germane point to make, and I did. So big check mark for me. Dan Bishop, Representative Dan Bishop, the one of the lead authors of the law that lots of radicals on the left want to talk about. We'll get the skinny on that coming up next. Stay tuned.
For Freedom Action Network News, I'm Lisa Price. A statewide organization that worked to get Charlotte's non-discrimination ordinance overturned by the state legislature says hundreds of North Carolina businesses support the new state law, but that some are afraid of retaliation if they make that support public. In a news release yesterday, the NC Values Coalition said bullying from the LGBT community has some business owners afraid for the well-being of their businesses and families if they speak out. Meanwhile, the governor says the attorney general used a flawed legal argument in deciding not to defend HB 2. The governor released a video late Tuesday that also further explained his decision to sign the law, now being criticized by dozens of corporate CEOs and the subject of a federal lawsuit. A lawyer for Donald Trump's campaign manager says even though a video shows contact between Corey Lewandowski and a news reporter at a Trump event this month, it also shows that the reporter didn't lose her balance. On NBC's Today Show, Brad Cohen was asked whether his client might have thought reporter Michelle Fields was a threat to Trump.
100%. You know, that's one of the things that we have to investigate.
Cohen said Lewandowski is a former New Hampshire state trooper who thinks he can take action when he sees a potential threat to Trump. Police charged Lewandowski after reviewing the video. Elsewhere, President Obama says Americans must reject anti-Muslim and anti-refugee rhetoric in the aftermath of recent terror attacks. AP White House correspondent Mark Smith explains.
The president says the goal of the bombers who struck in Belgium and Pakistan during Holy Week was to sow fear and division, to get Americans and their allies to cast out the stranger and spurn those seeking shelter.
The intent of the terrorists is to weaken our faith, to weaken our best impulses, our better angels.
But at an Easter prayer breakfast here, he said, if this holiday means anything to the faithful, it's that you don't have to be afraid, that darkness is drowned out by light and hatred healed with love. Mark Smith at the White House.
Duke Energy is one of 41 energy providers the Obama administration says have agreed to voluntarily reduce methane emissions from natural gas operations to help combat climate change. The announcement of the government-industry partnership comes after the worst methane leak in the nation's history was finally plugged last month at an underground storage facility owned by Southern California Gas. The Environmental Protection Agency aims to reduce methane emissions by at least 40% over the next decade. If you're planning a trip this summer that involves taking a flight, be prepared for long waits at security check-in points. AP correspondent Warren Levinson has the details.
4 years ago, the Transportation Security Administration envisioned getting 25 million travelers to sign up for PreCheck, aimed at streamlining trips through airport security. Members get to keep shoes and jackets on, laptops stay in carry-ons. But fewer than 9.5 million flyers have signed up so far. Security lines are growing longer, and come the peak summer travel season, the agency is warning the lines will be really long. A hint of the bottlenecks to come appeared this month. American Airlines reports 6,800 spring break passengers missed their flights because of long check-in lines. Warren Levinson, New York.
The FBI is warning North Carolina residents to beware of a telephone scam asking potential victims to repay a school loan, parking ticket, or other matter, and threatens arrest if the fees aren't paid via MoneyGram. A statement from the agency's Charlotte office said the scam spoofs FBI office telephone numbers on the victim's caller ID. The FBI says it does not call private citizens requesting money and tells people to limit the information they freely provide online, including on social media sites. Speaking of scams, Central Piedmont Community College has secured a $200,000 grant to start a certificate program to combat counterfeiting. The Charlotte Observer reports CPCC will use the National Science Foundation grant to develop a 2-year technician certificate program and to provide continuing education for those in the field. Counterfeiting ranks among the fastest growing economic crimes, accounting for 5 to 7% of world trade, according to the International Chamber of Commerce. Counterfeiting is worth an estimated $600 billion a year.
And most people's NCAA college basketball brackets have been busted. But those same brackets are holding up the ratings for the TV networks covering the games. CBS and TBS have gotten the highest ratings. Nielsen reports 11.6 million people watched CBS's telecast of the Villanova-Kansas game Saturday. The Sunday night matchup between UNC and Notre Dame drew more than 10 million viewers. Overall, the most popular TV show last week, though, was a familiar entry, NCIS, which airs on CBS. And now you're up to date. Stay informed with Freedom Action Network News. I'm Lisa Price. Now back to more of What Matters with Chad Adams.
As always, what we do here, you just won't hear anywhere else. This is where you get more in-depth, interesting interviews. This is where you get more difficult questions asked and answered from people who make decisions. Today, no different. Representative Dan Bishop from the Mecklenburg County area, someone who was at the press conference prior to the special session, someone who was very concerned about this, someone who served in public office in Mecklenburg County many years ago, not that many years ago, but has always been a strong conservative voice. Welcome to the show, Representative Bishop. How are you?
I'm great, and it's terrific to be with you, Chad, and it has been many years ago.
It has.
I was on the Board of County Commissioners.
You were. So this is not an area you're unfamiliar with. You are a legislator, but you also served as a county commissioner. And, you know, so you're familiar with this kind of back-and-forth battle, the you know, these uptown, downtown, whatever you want to call them, ultra-liberal groups that just continue to pound away and put pressure on. I mean, what I heard from the city council, one of them, was that they were basically threatened and berated, and they were just bullied by a small vocal minority of people into voting for this thing. It got voted down twice before, from what I understand, and finally went through with the new mayor, Jennifer Roberts. Before we get into the legislation, I want to ask you, when you were watching this unfold in your home county, what were your thoughts?
Let me back up before that. After Jennifer Roberts won the mayor's election, she never missed an opportunity in media reports to say that this was going to be, you know, right at the top of the priority list. And so in January, I wrote a piece to the city council, first urging them not to go down this road because of the divisiveness, the turmoil that it would end up bringing, fresh off the heels of Houston citizens voting to repeal a bathroom ordinance like this. And then subsequently I sent a very lengthy letter to members of the city council explaining to them why it exceeded the city council's authority under state law and would draw a response from the General Assembly.
Why, when I look at this, there's a couple questions I have. Number one, and this is an overly simplistic one, so please pardon it, okay? Because I watched your press conference 2 weeks ago, you know, before you guys went into session. I've read the law. I've seen the ultra-radical left attacks against the state of North Carolina trying to gin up and make it look like a much larger group actually care about this issue as far as supporting Charlotte. But really, a 7-4 vote, and some of which of the folks were bullied. Why wouldn't the first reaction be, because you are in the legislature, why couldn't y'all just nullify? Just say this law has passed, this ordinance is nullified. Y'all could have done that.
What a great question.
Pardon me, I'm not trying to be over simplistic, but I think a lot of people ask that question.
Well, many have missed the point.
Yeah.
We cannot do that. We cannot say the Charlotte ordinance is nullified. It is a matter of business regulation, and under the North Carolina Constitution, Article 2, Section 24, we cannot pass local acts on subjects of business regulation. So what we have to do is pass a general law, and that's what we've done.
Now, when you look at this, again, many people are missing the point that this would allow. I was kind of making fun of it a little bit because there's a story that's appearing today in the Daily Wire, and it is about in Greensboro, and it's a true story, and I hate to make it too funny, but, you know, the story at the Daily Wire is forget gender reassignment. You can now identify as a mermaid. Earlier this year, hundreds of people from around the world who identify as mermaids and mermen got together in Greensboro, the world's largest first mermania meetup. Why would it be?
Can't make this stuff up.
Yeah, I'm not making it up. These people identify as mermaids. And so does that mean that there need to be special things made? Does this cover them under the Americans with Disabilities Act? Would you have to build special ways for them to get into and out of bathrooms? If that, and I know it's absurd, but these laws saying that identity and perspective is a right. You have a right to feel whatever you want, but that doesn't give you a right to intrude on everybody else who actually has inalienable rights as an individual, as a person.
That's what they seek, though. So the mother of all pressure groups, the appallingly named Human Rights Campaign, D.C. pressure group, $30 million a year budget, enormous ability to swing businesses into action who are fearful of their attacks, they brought this to Charlotte and insisted that Charlotte ram it through.
What was the problem they were trying to address? Well, from what I can tell, 700,000 people out of 350 million, okay? So we're talking about a percent of a percent of a percent that have transgender issues, okay? And yet their birth certificate does have a clearly demarked way of seeing the world, the reality of what they are, biological, not identity, biological, which is all you're saying is biologically that's what you are, right?
Sure, right, exactly. Now, here's the thing. What does it seek to accomplish? Well, and that's a fair question, because what the Human Rights Campaign and other similar pressure groups want to achieve is they want to crush any dissent. So that is to say, I've gotten innumerable emails from people who say a transgender woman is a woman, a transgender man is a man, and the implication is if you don't buy that, or if you have a question about it, for all purposes throughout life, then you'll be crushed underfoot.
Yeah.
So government's going to mandate it throughout society, and that I guess that's the purpose.
Isn't it a special designation, though? I mean, we are someone who believes in equal rights for all, but not special privileges for a select few. And those privileges that were being given to these, and this is a special privilege law that Charlotte passed. It is a special privilege that tramples everybody else's rights. And why isn't the issue, it looks like it's very difficult for the right to frame this issue as, you guys want special privileges for some people, but not equal rights for all.
Because you can't get a message through. So you simply cannot have a rational discussion over it, and that is the purpose of what we're seeing now in terms of the intensive pressure. There is a long list of major businesses, including Bank of America and American Airlines, among others, who've signed a
Red
letter.
Red Hat and others. I mean, there have been a number of companies that have signed. Dow Chemical signed something.
Signed a letter on letterhead of Human Rights Campaign and Equality North Carolina for the repeal of the statute that we passed. Now, we went and passed a statute to reimpose the bathroom practices that have been in operation in North Carolina forever. We only imposed it in public buildings. We let private businesses free to do whatever they want. And we made clear that we were preempting the field of employment public accommodations discrimination. It was going to be that's a statewide matter of statewide interest. It's appropriately decided in Raleigh, and it's never been conferred upon localities to decide. So we made that law and had to do it as a statewide matter for the purpose of addressing what the great outcry had been about, which was Charlotte's abuse of bathroom privacy and shower privacy. These businesses have said, repeal that law. I don't know if they've paid close attention to what they're asking for, because the implication of that is they want to reimpose that policy.
Yeah. And possibly make it even wider, which I think was the ultimate goal of the radicalized Saul Alinsky movement on this one. They knew. So seven Democrats in the city of Charlotte have created a nationwide furor, which is, I believe, what Jennifer Roberts intended to do all along. Here's the question along those lines, and it's somewhat hypothetical at this point because the water's already under the bridge. My question for you would be, I think you have a pretty good answer, because I saw this all being set up when you gave the press conference with Buck Newton and Senator Berger, and that is, why not allow that to have transpired, to allow this ridiculous, poorly conceived, poorly written, ambiguous and confusing. And you presented, by the way, you presented very good arguments, I thought, about current law being disregarded, about the fact that if you go into a woman's locker room, you're committing a trespassing crime. If you're going into women's bathrooms, you are committing public indecency crimes, that law already had violations in it. So the question would be, why not wait until it goes into effect and let the tiger kind of reverse, meaning let everybody get upset, and then when you guys come back into a session, fix it? Why preempt that and give the left kind of what they wanted, which was a way to put a target on your back, and Governor McCrory's for that matter?
Because it would have left people vulnerable for the time period that it would be in effect before we came into session. And others may have argued, based on various precedents, that if we allowed it to come into effect, that they'd have somehow greater rights that we wouldn't be able to affect it at that point in time. You know, as you know, the ACLU's filed a lawsuit already that says, that contends really for the first time. I mean, some crazy litigation that's been going on over Title IX, a statute.
And they fired it, filed it in federal court, did they not?
They did.
Yeah, they filed the one against me in federal court, too. So
congratulations.
I'm proud of that. Badge of honor.
They're plentiful.
They are.
They contend that they have a constitutional right. There's a constitutional right for people who identify as the opposite gender to go into bathrooms of the opposite gender. And if that's so, then the implication must be that they have a constitutional right to go all the way. That is to say, showers. You must be, if you're going to use a public shower, expect someone with opposite sex genitals in the shower with you, because the ACLU contends that you have a constitutional right to that effect. Those people do. The others have, and they say that constitutional right is predicated in privacy. And then the necessary implication of that argument is that everyone who believes in conventional privacy in those facilities has no constitutional right. So how they could possibly have that right is unimaginable. But that's what they contend. So if that came into effect, if we allowed that to go, then we would be possibly having strengthened the hand of that side of the argument, and people wanted it dealt with. And candidly, I don't think we should have cast a pall over the entire session dealing with this issue. We did it exactly right. We passed a balanced piece of legislation. It's been widely maligned and misreported.
Yes.
And we actually, we expanded non-discrimination rights in the course of passing it. We passed a public accommodations statement of public policy to match the one on employment discrimination for the first time ever.
Let me ask you this. So Red Hat or American Airlines or any other company, from what when I read this, there's nothing that prohibits them from having three kinds of bathrooms, four kinds. They can configure their company about any way they want to, can't they?
Sure. They could send everybody in the same bathroom.
Law doesn't prevent any company from doing it. Basically gives them the freedom. If they want to go have that and they believe it'll work in their marketplace, the Red Hat tomorrow can go have one unisex bathroom for everyone, can't they?
Absolutely.
See, this is the thing that the left, I don't understand. They want to force everybody to do something. You guys want to give the freedom for people to do it.
That ought to tell you something.
It should. It tells you that they want to force, this ideological left wants to force, coerce, and beat you down to bend to their will rather than express freedom. You want to be free. You want to go work for a company that has a unisex bathroom and locker room and shower facility if that's what you want, if there's a market for it. You're not preventing that.
There'd be no tolerance at all for that, for what you've just expressed. That is something they will not tolerate.
They hate freedom.
Here's another thing they won't tolerate, and it's clear, again, if you look at that ACLU lawsuit, the complaint is explicit on two points. In paragraph 27, I believe it is, they have a one-sentence paragraph of that complaint. They've isolated this statement of fact, this assertion of fact. They say the main determinant of sex is gender identity. That's what they say. And then down at, near the end of the facts in the complaint, they say that even if the plaintiffs in that case had been given access to a single-use unisex facility, that wouldn't be sufficient because it's stigmatizing. Understand just how, to what degree they're prepared to go. It's not just a question of having access to a usable bathroom and dealing with whatever discomfort they may have by virtue of their circumstances, you know, through a neutral bathroom, an extra one. That's not good enough. They insist that you mandate across society that folks, you know, accept that they must share bathrooms, showers with people who assert that they are transgender.
Our guest, Dan Bishop, Representative Dan Bishop, former Mecklenburg County Commissioner, representative now, who was very adamant in the press conference prior to the legislative session that changed the law to really allow freedom to proliferate. If you want to have transgender bathrooms, you can. It's just taking away the force of government forcing you to do so in the Charlotte area and, for that matter, the rest of the state. Of note, Asheville, one of the most liberal cities in the entire state of North Carolina, chose to not take up this issue and refused to pass this kind of crazy ordinance prior to the legislative session. So other cities were not being, you know, were not forced into this. They chose not to. Charlotte decided to make a horrible situation worse. Let me ask you, some of the critics have said, hey, you know, you guys went and changed the minimum wage laws. You guys have gone and created where now people can fire you because of your religious beliefs. They're trying to change the issue. I noticed that the radical Saul Alinsky way of looking at it, change the issue so it fits a different narrative. What do you say to those people that are, you know, because they are saying, oh, no, you know, I got a couple questions from the left. But on that one, what do you say to that? You guys changed the minimum wage laws and you're trying to prevent, you're going to make people be able to be fired for their religious beliefs and stuff.
There's a great statement. I can't quote it exactly, but you've seen it today. There's an article by Frank Turek.
Yes, and I'm going to go through that entire article after.
Well, I'm going to hold off then.
No. Go ahead. You can quote it because I'm going to read the whole
thing. His introductory line was memorable, and I can't quote it exactly, but his lies are born when someone decides that the truth becomes dangerous. and really, that's what. So there are a great number of mischaracterizations about this bill. I've had, you know, and it takes a while to knock these down. I have on my Facebook posted from last evening. I finally got the Charlotte Observer to concede that statement in their lead of an article on the weekend saying that we had effectively repealed ordinances that provided employment discrimination protections for gays and lesbians, and transgenders, that representation was 100% false. There is no such ordinance in North Carolina either that provides protections for gays and transgenders or that provides protection on employment discrimination generally. In 2003, the Supreme Court in North Carolina struck down several of those because they were beyond city's authority. So they didn't exist. But the media, the proliferation of misstatements about this law is a sight to behold. And people are forming opinions about it based on false information. To the point that, what was the one that you said that it ends your ability to sue for employment discrimination?
Yeah, I mean, it forces it into the federal system. I don't know. I mean, I've seen those things. I'm just like, oh, geez. But I'll ask. Yeah.
There is a complicated and technical. As we were adding the statewide statement of public policy against public accommodations discrimination, it was necessary to make it clear that we were not giving rise to new lawsuits. Just as the ordinance in Charlotte before, the legacy ordinance in Charlotte, did not permit for private rights of action, we don't want to create new lawsuits at the state level. In order to match that with the existing policy statement concerning employment discrimination, we matched the language so that there would not be an understanding and implication that we were creating new claims under the other lawsuit either. The result of that is that people will rely on their federal claims for employment discrimination, their federal rights, but you've seen it repeated over and over in papers that no one can bring that lawsuit in state court. It's false. There's concurrent state and federal jurisdiction over Title VII, age discrimination, and ADA, Americans with Disabilities claims. So it's not true. What it works out to is minor procedural differences in the way those lawsuits are pursued, but not the ones they've said, and the substantive rights are going to be the same in virtually every circumstance. So it's just there's just nothing to that. And then you had another one. I've forgotten the other question, though.
Well, I mean, at some point in time, some of these groups really need to be sued for actually completely fabricating stuff that's not true. And it looks like they're just throwing everything, you know, into this thing. Just they're trying to get people on the right to turn on Republicans. They're trying to turn this around away from what the issue really is, which is the bathroom identity, whatever identify as I can use. I'm going to go back to Chad Severance. I haven't mentioned that name to you. I'm going to ask you that. But before we get to the Chad Severance situation, which I think is germane, because I think it'll lead from this one. You know, many on the left are saying, look, you know, all these cities, dozens and dozens of cities have an ordinance like this, and they haven't had any problems. Why is this a problem now? And I'm asking that because I know you can answer this question, so I'm asking you that because those on the left are trying to put that out there.
Well, they talk about all the cities that have it. You know, it's a
they even said Myrtle Beach had it, but I can find no evidence that Myrtle Beach has this.
Well, and that they have, there are many ordinances out there of various types. It doesn't mean that there's one on public accommodations. It doesn't mean that there's one that allows bathroom access in the way this one does. In fact, in this case, and I've showed this in some detail. It's available on my campaign website. You can go to a little YouTube thing and see it. The way they modified their existing amendment, it's not just that they admit transgender people into an opposite bathroom. The plain language of the ordinance as they have now adopted it eliminates separate sex bathrooms. It says that you can't discriminate in access to any facility of a place of public accommodations on the basis of race, color, religion, national origin, sex, sexual orientation, gender identity, gender expression, familial status, or marital status. So when they took sex, they took it from a separate section where it had had a bathroom exemption, and they moved it into the main section in that list that I just described and added those other categories and said you simply cannot discriminate on the basis of sex in the use of any facility. Well, if you look at the plain language and you look at the legislative history of that, that is to say what existed before that they changed, you eliminated separate sex bathrooms. So when businesses are now saying they want us to repeal the fix for that we did in Raleigh, restoring that to force, that's what they're saying they're advocating for. It's the end boys and girls bathrooms.
It is kind of
men's and women.
Kind of amazing. And it said inside the article, this thing's been voted. The thing that amazes me, I've always said the left only needs to win once. They can bring an issue again and again and again. They first in Charlotte, do you know when this first came up in Charlotte? You may not remember the year, but I'll remind you, and that's unfair because I'm looking at the data.
It's in the 90s.
92.
Right? Yeah.
They've been wanting this since 1992. They bring it back again, it gets voted down. They bring it back again, it gets voted down. They get it back again. They never get, there's like no statute of limitations on the number of times you can bring these kind of crazy things. There's no limit. You can bring it back 20 times. That year, the council voted 74 against a recommendation to include this kind of stuff in there. Dan Clodfelter, you know Dan, Democrat Dan Clodfelter was in the minority that year, and Pat McCrory, now the governor, was the mayor then. And
right.
He said, you know, this is bad. And, you know, when you look at this, it's just amazing. They bring it back again, but they only had to win once.
Well, they've won a big, I mean, winning by, I believe this is the first time, I don't recall as I stand here the form of the 1992 amendment they proposed and lost on, but this is the first time I believe that they've sought to do it in a way that sunders separate sex bathrooms. So that's a new ball game, and it's the one to which people have. There's a Civitas poll out that 70% of people think that provision that the ordinance in Charlotte was unfair and unsafe. 69% precisely, I think.
Yeah,
that's amazing. So what? And I think the numbers were like that in Houston. The people who voted against the bathroom ordinance down there were 66% or something like that.
Yep.
Coincidentally, it seems to hold fairly constant. And the point is, I mean, you almost never get a position that high in answers to polls. But
no,
did they try to make it
look like the majority of North Carolinians are on their side, and that is even PPP's question did not include the bathroom ordinance. It said, do you know, it's something to the effect, it was question number 33 on their big old fancy, you know, long form. And it basically was said that, do you think the legislature should basically repeal what cities pass in ordinances. It's so broad.
I think the words they use, as I recall, that the PPP poll was something that should state government dictate
yes.
the locality.
Yes, it was a horrible question. Horrible question. But let me tell you, Houston, to remind folks, Houston City Council passed its own version, which led to an uprising in Houston, and then voters tried to get a petition to which the city, the liberal city, said, oh, we don't accept these signatures. A lawsuit was filed that overturned the city, and the voters in that city said, hell no, and overturned what the city did.
Right.
So, right. I mean, a lot
going
on there.
If they had a turmoil, if they think the turmoil of the last couple of weeks is something nobody wants to put up with, the turmoil that occurred in Houston went on for almost 2 years before they finally it was finally consummated in that referendum vote. That wouldn't be better. But in either event, whichever way it were to go, let's be real clear. The turmoil was started by the Charlotte City Council
yes.
and Mayor Roberts.
Yes. Jennifer Roberts is the one that started this whole horrible, radicalized, leftist agenda that has led to all this confusion. Now, I'm going to let this segment run a little long. We're already a little over time, but I need to ask you this. Representative Dan Bishop, our guest, we're very pleased to have him, thankful to have him on the show. And the final question is about Chad Severance. And I don't make a habit of personalizing attacks. I have some differences with some folks. But Chad Severance was one of the leaders of trying to push this through. You know that name. So
sure.
what do you know about Chad Severance?
Well, as was discovered and reported to media long before the ordinance passed up here, but ignored assiduously by media, Chad Severance is a convicted child molester. And he was the in-town leader on behalf of the LGBT Chamber of Commerce, I believe they called it, of the effort to have this passed.
And so there you go. And that the media doesn't report that, and when it finally does come out, the Charlotte Observer admitted they knew that and excluded it from their story. They admitted thought it was irrelevant. That here's someone who was a convicted sex offender pushing for a law that it just defies belief that someone of that, you know, that had that and may have gotten past it, but nonetheless, someone who did have one of these questionable issues that would have affected the bathroom issue. It's just amazing. But Representative Dan Bishop, we appreciate you being a part of our broadcast, all right?
Chad, it was great. Thanks very much.
Again, very, very honored to have him on here, someone who's been fighting this, fighting the good fight against the radicalized left attacking him. We appreciate him being on the show. We will go through, many people have referred to the piece from Town Hall about the 6 reasons North Carolina got it right. We're going to go through that piece after this, take a quick break. Thanks for sticking with us here on What Matters with Chad Adams.
For Freedom Action Network News, I'm Lisa Price. A statewide organization that worked to get Charlotte's non-discrimination ordinance overturned by the state legislature says hundreds of North Carolina businesses support the new state law, but that some are afraid of retaliation if they make that support public. In a news release yesterday, the NC Values Coalition said bullying from the LGBT community has some business owners afraid for the well-being of their businesses and families if they speak out. Meanwhile, the governor says the attorney general used a flawed legal argument in deciding not to defend HB2. The governor released a video late Tuesday that also further explained his decision to sign the law, now being criticized by dozens of corporate CEOs and the subject of a federal lawsuit. A lawyer for Donald Trump's campaign manager says even though a video shows contact between Corey Lewandowski and a news reporter at a Trump event this month, it also shows that the reporter didn't lose her balance. On NBC's Today Show, Brad Cohen was asked whether his client might have thought reporter Michelle Fields was a threat to Trump.
100%. You know, that's one of the things that we have to investigate.
Cohen said Lewandowski is a former New Hampshire state trooper who thinks he can take action when he sees a potential threat to Trump. Police charged Lewandowski after reviewing the video. Elsewhere, President Obama says Americans must reject anti-Muslim and anti-refugee rhetoric in the aftermath of recent terror attacks. AP White House correspondent Mark Smith explains.
The president says the goal of the bombers who struck in Belgium pilgrimage in Pakistan during Holy Week was to sow fear and division, to get Americans and their allies to cast out the stranger and spurn those seeking shelter.
The intent of the terrorists is to weaken our faith, to weaken our best impulses, our better angels.
But at an Easter prayer breakfast here, he said, if this holiday means anything to the faithful, it's that you don't have to be afraid, that darkness is drowned out by light and hatred healed with love. Mark Smith at the White House.
Duke Energy is one of 41 energy providers the Obama administration says have agreed to voluntarily reduce methane emissions from natural gas operations to help combat climate change. The announcement of the government-industry partnership comes after the worst methane leak in the nation's history was finally plugged last month at an underground storage facility owned by Southern California Gas. The Environmental Protection Agency aims to reduce methane emissions by at least 40% over the next decade. If you're planning a trip this summer that involves taking a flight, be prepared for long waits at security check-in points. AP correspondent Warren Levinson has the details.
4 years ago, the Transportation Security Administration envisioned getting 25 million travelers to sign up for PreCheck, aimed at streamlining trips through airport security. Members get to keep shoes and jackets on, laptops stay in carry-ons. But fewer than 9.5 million flyers have signed up so far. Security lines are growing longer, and come the peak summer travel season, the agency is warning the lines will be really long. A hint of the bottlenecks to come appeared this month. American Airlines reports 6,800 spring break passengers missed their flights because of long check-in lines. Warren Levinson, New York.
The FBI is warning North Carolina residents to beware of a telephone scam asking potential victims to repay a school loan, parking ticket, or other matter, and threatens arrest if the fees aren't paid via MoneyGram. A statement from the agency's Charlotte office said the scam spoofs FBI office telephone numbers on the victim's caller ID. The FBI says it does not call private citizens requesting money and tells people to limit the information they freely provide online, including on social media sites. Speaking of scams, Central Piedmont Community College has secured a $200,000 grant to start a certificate program to combat counterfeiting. The Charlotte Observer reports CPCC will use the National Science Foundation grant to develop a 2-year technician certificate program and to provide continuing education for those in the field. Counterfeiting ranks among the fastest growing economic crimes, accounting for 5 to 7% of world trade, according to the International Chamber of Commerce. Counterfeiting is worth an estimated $600 billion a year. And most people's NCAA college basketball brackets have been busted. But those same brackets are holding up the ratings for the TV networks covering the games. CBS and TBS have gotten the highest ratings. Nielsen reports 11.6 million people watched CBS's telecast of the Villanova-Kansas game Saturday. The Sunday night matchup between UNC and Notre Dame drew more than 10 million viewers. Overall, the most popular TV show last week, though, was a familiar entry, NCIS, which airs on CBS. And now you're up to date. Stay informed with Freedom Action Network News. I'm Lisa Price. Now back to more of What Matters with Chad Adams.
Okay. So, look, mad praise for Representative Bishop coming on the show today. Chris Mills has been a guest several times. They co-wrote a piece over at the Daily Caller. I thought they did a great job of addressing it. It's interesting when you start, this is just kind of political inside baseball. So when you're in office, and whether you're a city councilman, a county commissioner, sometimes things take on a life of their own, led by emotion and anger that loses the basis for facts. I can give you numerous examples. NIMBYism is one of the prime examples of this problem in our society. It's in neighborhoods, it's in cities, it's in counties, and NIMBYism means not in my backyard. And NIMBYism, it creates a severe problem as free market principles begin to want to take hold. You're in a neighborhood. Somebody wants to bring a shopping center. Your neighbors get all upset, try to say it's going to destroy the property values. They fight it. They beat it up. They beat up the people involved. They beat up the city council, public hearings. Babies are held up, and it's going to toxify their kids. And you would think, and it's amazing, people's reaction. There's a direct reaction to a thing happening that isn't all that bad. There's almost a correlation is a better word. There is a the more likely something is to take place, the more ludicrous the reaction becomes. So in other words, as a developer wants to build a given city or a given development, the more that it looks like it's going to proceed, the more ludicrous the assertions become. Oh, if that development comes, our water is going to be toxic, runoff is going to hurt us, our property values are going to go down, it's going to hurt our kids, crime is going to go up, rapes are going to increase, murders are going to increase. And yet they are unable to present facts. Or if they do, it's anecdotal from someone they knew. Oh, I had a friend in this community and this happened and this is what happened. They get far away from, and this is not saying that all developments are perfect or not. And in most cases, a little bit of NIMBYism can go a long way. In other words, if neighbors have a respectful kind of response, they can often get a lot of what they want dealt with. Well, I don't want this road going through my neighborhood. The developer wants it to be successful. They're just like, okay. But the net result of having a development nearby oftentimes is it brings more competition, prices come down, more access, less traffic because you spread things out. It's a lot of good things. Now, let me give you another example of NIMBYism on a larger scale. Let's say you have a landfill or coal ash or fracking, three issues that have all come to reside in the central part of North Carolina. Now, landfills became so bad. Now, I want you to think about landfills for a minute. Back in the day, many cities had their own small, relatively small landfills. Environmentalists and those on the left didn't like them. They started making them so expensive and so difficult that many cities realized we just need to have a regional landfill. So the small municipal landfill, even as technology was increasing and getting better and making it safer and making it more cost efficient, so large landfills came. And well, a picture of a large landfill is one of the most devastating things. Environmentalists love large landfills because they can make them the target of everything. So it became so bad in North Carolina that the leftists made it near impossible. Environmentalist wackos from all over the place made it almost impossible for North Carolina to have landfills. Because the enviro-activists are able to convince you that it's a terrible thing, even though the technology has become state. Landfill technology is Star Trekian in scope. I mean, the liners are unbelievable. The compaction technologies are amazing, drawing off the methane out of them, the way they become inert over a course of years. It's becoming better, but North Carolina outlawed them. And Governor McCrory, when he was a candidate one time, talked about this, and the left went ballistic in the 2008 campaign. Now, he was right. McCrory was right about what North Carolina needed to do. So here's what's happened. As a result of the envirotard left, they have made it. So we basically, they made them illegal. They made the restrictions so great that there were literally four large landfills that were being developed in North Carolina, had gone through permitting process, had spent millions of dollars, and then it was illegal. And they were able to get money, your money, refunded back to them for all their. So here's what's beautiful. All the big landfill companies out there are just waiting. As North Carolina runs out of landfill space, they'll be waiting. And when we do, and we will, because the environmentalists have created a situation where we do have a supply of landfill mass, and we have demand for landfills, but we don't have a supply for landfills. And when we run out, how much do you think you're going to have to pay to get rid of your trash? You're going to have to pay whatever they, meaning the people who own landfills in other states, demand. And you're going to get ripped off in a way you've never imagined, because you can't build a landfill in North Carolina. So all the landfills we currently have are desperately trying to figure out new technologies to make use of the existing space, because it will run out and you're going to get stuck because the Democrats and the environmentalist leftist activist left NIMBYed landfills to the point we can't have them. So hopefully the Republicans will fix it. I doubt they're going to take on the environmentalists. Our House leadership has not shown any cojones, for lack of a better word, to challenge big lobbyists. They barely can tolerate the solar lobby. You think they're going to be able to stand up to the environmentalist left? No. So, that being said, this issue is led by a bunch of radical lefties again. And they're going at it in a way that's just ripping things apart. It just astounds me. So, that takes us over to the piece at Town Hall that's been referred to by Paul Chesser. It's been referred to by Dan Bishop. I've referred to it. And it's the six reasons that North Carolina got it right. Lies are born the moment someone thinks the truth is dangerous. That's what Dan Bishop said earlier. I wish I had written it. I love good writing. I think I'm a competent writer. I like to write at times when the muse is in me. Six reasons I got it right. Lies are born the moment someone thinks the truth is dangerous. Apparently, a good number of business and sports executives think the truth about North Carolina's bathroom bill, HB2, is dangerous. That's why they're lying about it. Well, perhaps I should be a bit more charitable. Some may not be overtly lying about it, but they are expressing their disapproval without knowing what the bill actually does. On Monday, Lieutenant Governor Dan Forrest, a guest on our show several times, who helped call the special session to pass House Bill 2, called the executive in charge at one large protesting company and simply asked him if he or anyone there at his company had actually read the bill. I think that's a pretty legit question. Dan Forrest, smart guy. The CEO, the executive in charge of the company, in charge of the company that had gone after North Carolina, said and admitted that he hadn't even read the bill. They just labeled it, quote, discriminatory, without even reading it. After all, who needs the truth when you make so much progress by ignoring the truth and engaging in the very bigotry and name-calling you claim to oppose? Isn't it interesting? Those on the left would say that they oppose bigotry, that they oppose name-calling. But that's what they espouse right now. What are they calling names? They're calling the governor names. They're calling legislators names. They're calling Christians names. The truth is that they, like other companies who haven't bothered to read the bill, are simply taking their marching orders from the misnamed Human Rights Campaign, who have the audacity to claim that men have a human right to have access to women and girls in public bathrooms, and that any acknowledgement of the biological differences between men and women is somehow discrimination against people who prefer same-sex relationships. In the name of diversity, I'd like to offer a different view in six distinct points. Again, this is the article at Town Hall by Frank Turek. So these are the six reasons. Number one, all good laws discriminate against behaviors, not people. All good laws discriminate against behaviors, not people. No one is being discriminated against with House Bill 2, which discriminates against the behavior of a man using the woman's restroom. If any law is wrongly discriminatory, it is the bad law passed by the Charlotte City Council to create this controversy. It actually discriminates against women and children by making public restrooms unsafe for them. The ACLU has already filed a lawsuit alleging HB2 does not provide equal protection to some folks. Ironically, it's only because of House Bill 2 that women and children do get equal protection from predators in public bathrooms. Number two, people are equal, but their behaviors are not. Good laws treat all people equally, but not all of their behaviors equally. In fact, the very reason laws exist at all is because all behaviors are not equal. They must be treated differently for the benefit of individuals and society. House Bill 2 discriminates against no one who identifies as lesbian, gay, bisexual, or transgender. The law merely sets a safe public bathroom use, a behavior, for everyone, and keeps employment law consistent across the state. Number three, your identity is not in your feelings, it's in your biology. The author says, I can't believe there is actually a need to say this, but many on the left are living in their own invented reality, and they are demanding that we live in it too. The host of the show would say, what color is the sky in their world? They want the color of their world to be the same as ours, instead of saying the sky is blue. But back to the article. The reason we've always had separate bathrooms is because of biological sexual differences, not because of feelings or gender identity. House Bill 2 simply says that people will use public bathrooms that align with their biological sex as found on their birth certificate. How can this possibly be controversial? Are we to risk the safety of millions of women and children in public restrooms because an extremely small number of people are experiencing a mismatch between their psychology and their biology? Good public policy does not risk the physical safety of women and children because an extreme few have a preference for a different bathroom. Moreover, House Bill 2 actually accommodates people who have had so-called sex change operations. They can use the bathroom of their choice, provided they've had their birth certificate changed. It also affects only public restrooms. Companies and other private organizations can adopt any policy they want for their workplace. Does the NBA and the NFL allow men in women's bathrooms? Does Apple? Does Cisco? Does Marriott? Does Lowe's? then why are they insisting the government force everyone to do so? Why do they think that North Carolina is wrongly discriminating when they are doing exactly the same thing in their businesses? Go, I challenge you, go to an NBA game and see if you have men and women's bathrooms there. The NBA's mad at North Carolina. Practice what you preach, brother. What is wrong with you people? And why aren't these holier-than-thou folks threatening to pull their businesses from Iran and Saudi Arabia, where they actually are murdering homosexuals? Again, first world versus third world problems. It's easy to yell in a first world because you have rights to do so. It's harder to yell in a third world where they cut your hands off or kill you. Their moral outrage is not only misdirected, it shows they're willing to put women and children at risk by kowtowing to a deceptive special interest group. But they'll sacrifice nothing to save the people they say they care about by confronting real evil elsewhere. Number four, the danger is real for sexual predators in women's restrooms. If you don't think so, there's many videos out there you can look at. Number five, race and LGBT are not the same. Race is not a behavior, and race has no impact on someone's behavior. But homosexuality is a behavior, and LGBT political goals are all about imposing certain leftist behaviors on others, from forcing people to participate in same-sex marriage ceremonies to allowing men in women's restrooms. The Human Rights Campaign also wants to use the strong arm of government to force companies to give employment preference to a long list of sexual orientation. This would mean that someone who claimed a homosexual orientation or someone who exhibited the behavior of cross-dressing at work, for example, would have more job security than you. How so? Because if a company has to downsize, who are they going to let go? One of the helpless Jane and John Does? Cross-dressers, or the person who can bring a costly lawsuit alleging discrimination. Opposition, number six. Opposition to harmful behavior is not bigotry. This is what many on the left accuse a lot on the right. There are some people in right-leaning think tanks that say things like this too. It is wise. Unfortunately, some on the left and in business falsely equate opposition to a behavior as prejudice toward people who engage in that behavior. That's the central fallacy in virtually every argument the Human Rights Campaign puts out. If you don't agree with every aspect of the LGBT behavior or their political goals, you are somehow bigoted against people who identify that way. If political opposition is bigotry, then the activists at the Human Rights Campaign are bigots for opposing conservatives. The truth is, conservatives have good reason based in public health and safety for not wanting to advocate same-sex marriage or men and women's bathrooms. But it's much easier for those on the left to ignore those arguments and just call us all names. The truth is just too dangerous. I think that's an excellent piece. It's a piece that puts it all out there. It forces the left to confront itself. The left wants to say that you, conservatives, are bigots. You're not. What they are is they are. They are bigoted toward a right-leaning perspective. It's easier to call you a name than confront the issue and have a logical discussion about it. The left doesn't want to talk about predators in bathrooms. They want to pretend that doesn't and can't exist. They can't even admit that their law doesn't allow that. If you can't admit what your law allows, then how can you have a substantive discussion about it? It's the same thing over and over and over again. The only narrative on global warming is that it's all bad and it's all caused by mankind. Any other argument to the contrary, you're an idiot. If you're not in support of minimum wage, well, you know, you're just a free market capitalist pig. If you don't support this transgender thing, well, you're a horrible human being. If you believe that sex should be between a man, if you believe that marriage should be between a man and a woman, well, you're just old-fashioned. Something's wrong with you. You need to update your perspective. You notice how the left has a narrative that makes anyone that disagrees with them want to feel inferior. And that's why, I can prove this to you. I can prove this to you without even reading anything. I'm going to mentally put you in a situation where I'll prove that pretty much everything I'm telling you is true. when you're in mixed company, and you're at a social gathering, and a lot of times we have social gatherings with a lot of people we agree with, but sometimes we don't. We're in mixed company at a party. We're in mixed company out and with a group of coworkers. And you hear the leftist liberals are very proud of their beliefs because they believe they're better than you. How many times have you been in that situation where they're talking about such things and you don't say anything because you know that they'll think less of you? You know that they'll berate you. You know that they will put you down, call you names. How can you be so ignorant? Wow, you're really homophobic. You're Islamophobic. You're a racist. Man, how can you have that? Gosh, you must be a racist. How can you have that belief? Because it's easier to put you down than to have a substantive discussion about anything. If you want to talk about maybe we should do more work on figuring out who's trying to get into this country, oh, you're Islamophobic. I mean, our own president can't say the words radical Islam. For political correct reasons, he can't. We know where it comes from. We know where the hate is. We know when you look at the terrorist bombings, it's one radicalized element of one faith. That's not a condemnation of the entire faith. It is a condemnation of the radicalized elements of it. But how can we confront the great issues of the day? And I mean this. How can we confront the great issues of the day if we can't have an honest discussion and debate? I mean, think about this. So, yes, the Republicans did get their act together. They were very organized, and they passed this. The Senate Democrats that walked out, truthfully, they would say, oh, it's stupid. I saw many of the comments. Oh, it's stupid legislation. We don't want to. The truth is, many of those Democrats do not want their vote recorded. They act as cowards, and I don't use that phrase easily. And all the times I've discussed my disagreements with some of the members of the House leadership, I haven't called them cowards. But those Democrats in the Senate were absolutely cowards. To walk out and not uphold their constitution, they violated their constitutional duty to the citizens that elected them to office. On that particular day, all of that geography in North Carolina, those citizens were not represented in that vote. They weren't allowed to because their senator walked out on their duty because they were angry. You know what? That's part of the legislative process. You don't always get what you want. Sorry, life's not fair. Jeez. And I say this because as I'm having discussions with folks, what I'm amazed at, having traveled to a lot of third world areas, I'm always blown away by what we find that we have. We have so much freedom and so much time and so much money that we have the time to call this an issue. And I agree with what the author said. I mean, over at Town Hall, if you really put this in perspective, it's interesting that the NBA and all of these companies, look, all of these companies, and this is what Governor McCrory and everyone else should say to these companies. If you really feel that way, then you need to shut down all of your business interest in countries where homosexuals are killed. You need to take all of your business interest away from every country that doesn't have equal rights. You need to shut down your businesses in every country that punishes political belief. Otherwise, you're a hypocrite. But to come, I mean, only in this country do we have the, you know, I told you yesterday there are 4 billion people on the planet Earth that don't even have access to electricity in a regular way. 4 out of 7 people on the planet don't even have power. The number of people on the planet that don't have running water, those are real problems. Worry that your kids are going to die of malaria because you don't have access to any health care. No. We have arguments about transgender bathrooms, and we want to think, and we blow it all out of proportion. If you think about that in the grand scheme of things, that is one of the most narcissistic things even possible, that we're all ginned up about this. Really? People are dying because of drug deals gone bad. We've got many problems in this society. Crime? We have lots of problems. We have economic woes. We have a lot to deal with. Transgender? I'm sorry, I cannot believe the left has made this the number one issue. You would think that the entire world revolved around this issue. A lot of countries on this planet don't even have bathrooms. Don't even have decent sanitation. And I'm not trying to make the same argument your parents made when you didn't clean your plate when you were a kid. There were starving people in China. You should clean your plate and eat everything. So you can gain an extra 10 pounds. I'm kidding. The point being, there are real issues out there that really matter to a lot of people. And I'll guarantee you that all of this discussion, all this political energy being used by the left to attack the right isn't solving any real world problems. It isn't lowering crime. What they are doing is not helping the citizens of this great state. It is not putting money in the pockets of North Carolinians. It is not creating jobs. It is creating discord, chaos, and anger. That's all they're doing. So, folks, we got to run. We're at the top of our second hour. For you folks listening in the evening, thank you so much. You tune in, radio folks, thank you so much. For everybody that's a part of our show each and every day, we appreciate you listening, and we will be back bright and early tomorrow afternoon and evening for you terrestrial listeners.